Welcome to the Challenges in Vending Technology podcasts. This is the 22nd podcast in our series. I'm Elliot Maris, editor of Automatic Merchandiser magazine, and with me today is Mike Lawler, the Vice President of Sales and Business Development of USA Technologies. This is my fourth podcast interview with Mike on cashless vending. Our earlier interviews talked about the upfront costs and the ongoing costs involved with cashless and some of the situations and where it's been successful to operators. In our last interview, we were talking about some of the challenges facing the vending industry in adopting cashless transaction capability. And one area that I wanted to ask you about, Mike, is there is a lot of change taking place in society in general. We see it happening around us with the iPad and with the Wi-Fi and with all the new gadgets coming out that people are using increasingly. Can you talk about some of the changes taking place in the customer base that will have an impact on the use of cashless vending?
Sure. No, that's a great question. Yeah, the world is changing in terms of, you know, what the preferred method of making any type of purchase or commerce is. And let me share with you some of the recent Nielsen reports. And if you're not familiar with Nielsen, they're the preeminent reporting in consumer purchases and payments. They're projecting by the year 2012, which, believe it or not, is coming up very quickly, that 50% of all commerce will be done with a credit or debit card. Conversely, by 2012, that only 10% will be done with, you know, any type of cash or coin. Now, if you look back over the course of the decade, you know, when roughly the year 2000, 2001, credit debit was at 30%, and cash and coin were at 20%. So you can see that, you know, the consumer change is happening very quickly, and what their preferred method of payment is readily becoming, you know, credit and debit cards. And again, that's predominated by, you know, the younger demographics, which is typically in the 18 to 40 year old. But it doesn't mean that, you know, people that are not in that demographics, you know, haven't migrated to use their, you know, credit and debit cards. So it is widespread, and I think, you know, we've seen that in our results with cashless card acceptance in locations, you know, that span all types of vending locations, whether it be traditional workplaces, healthcare facilities, military, college, university accounts. We've seen success across all types. So, again, it's just a little stronger with the younger demographics, but it's applicable across all.
In any of the testing you've done, have you had any machines that were strictly cashless that did not also take cash?
In limited situations, Elliot, you know, we really don't promote the elimination of cash or coin. But in situations where there's an extreme case of vandalism in certain hotel segments and certain other areas, operators and bottlers have taken out cash and been very successful with just, you know, putting cashless payment systems in because it eliminates any potential vandalism. But again, to answer your question, it's in isolated and limited situations.
Okay. Now, to what extent have the credit card companies themselves recognized the potential of the vending industry to promote their products?
Well, you know, the the two major credit card companies, you know, Visa, MasterCard, have actually played a very active role in over the past couple of years in the vending industry because, you know, they recognize that it's all incremental business to them because it had been historically all, you know, cash and coin based, and they've been very active to support, you know, the industry. They've actually done a lot of funding to help, you know, subsidize the cost of the hardware, which vendor operators and bottlers have, you know, benefited from quite a bit. So, again, they're really focused on just giving the consumer choices that, you know, again, if they want to use cash and coin, that's fine. But, again, as we talked about with the growth in debit and credit cards, that they want to make sure the consumer has the ability to have, you know, multiple forms of payment.
So, okay. One of the comments I've gotten from many operators I've talked about, we mentioned in one of our earlier interviews that the transaction fee per transaction is 5%. Mm-hmm. And operators, as we know, are operating on a very, very thin profit margin. Is there any chance that those transaction fees will be reduced?
Well, again, that is a question that, you know, the credit card companies, the Visas, the MasterCards, the American Express and Discover will have to answer themselves. But I know they have heard, you know, the voices of the vending industry, and I know they're, you know, looking at that. I don't know, you know, what's going to come about from it, but, you know, they have listened to the vending industry, and I know they're working on it. But, again, that probably will have to be best answered by themselves.
Do you have any specific projections for growth in terms of numbers?
Well, we expect to continue to grow. I think we should, you know, be easily up over 100,000, you know, terminals out in the marketplace by the end of this year. So, and that's really, you know, because that we really are moving into mainstream vending. That card acceptance is, you know, being readily put out by, you know, vending companies and bottlers, large and small. So again, I feel very comfortable that we'll be crossing over that 100,000 unit threshold by the end of this year.
Okay. All right. Well, that concludes our 20th podcast in the series of the challenges in vending technology. Mike, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.